And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. As acronyms go, this one is pretty sweet. City and Rural Explorers Examining the Paranormal, or CREEP. Add a Z to that, and you have the Kansas City-based CREEPS Ghost Commandos. In this part of the hour, we'll find out the difference between ghost busting and ghost trusting. And joining us in the studio this hour are Alec and Adam Tillery, founders and proprietors of CREEPS Ghost Commandos. They added the Z because they figured it was a cool way to stretch the acronym into plurality, as it were. Welcome, Adam and Alec.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Thank you very much.
So you added the Z, CREEPS. It's pretty cool. Tell us about how it got started and what it had to do with roller hockey.
You want to go ahead and take this one? Or
yeah, this is Alec, by the way. And it's back in 2001. We've always had a strong connection to our neighborhood in Kansas City, Kansas. And what better way to bring a group of neighborhood kids together by forming a sport team? So we decided hockey. We figured our chances were better in hockey and there is an open league. So we needed a mascot. You know, what do we call ourselves? So we were thinking of all the possibilities in the neighborhood, squirrels, possums, raccoons, you know, what stays true to our neighborhood. And Adam, I remember the moment we were down in our basement, which has its own stories. And he was like, how about CREEPS? And it was just one of those moments where, hallelujah, here it is. This is it. And it stuck all these years. So that's how CREEPS was formed.
And how do you go from that to, you know what? Let's be ghost commandos.
Sore joints.
Sore joints.
Sore joints for playing hockey.
We'll start with that. You had sore joints. You're sitting down. God, so, my body hurts. I want to go hunt ghosts.
Is that
what it was?
As we're dealing with our wounds and scrapes and everything from playing roller hockey, you know, our good friend Gideon Coyle, who also played on the hockey team, we'd all be sitting in our parents' basement or over at someone else's house. And one thing that we always had in common were Gideon grew up in a haunted house and Alec and I grew up in a haunted house. And we started sharing stories back and forth about each other's hauntings and experiences in these houses. And like, man, I wonder if we can find anything in the houses that we live in.
Back up. You grew up in a haunted house.
Yes.
Not one where your parents prepared trap doors and put on costumes and charged people to come in. But an actual haunted house?
We believe so. Absolutely.
Our parents are known to be pranksters, but they wouldn't go that far, especially on their own kids. You know, the hauntings, I guess you could call it was not of any negativity. In fact, we actually think that it was positive in nature. And
the hauntings.
Yes, exactly. So our parents, the house was built in 1920s, and our parents are the second owners of the house. They acquired it in the 1970s. We felt that it almost protected us in kind of a rough part of town. Our theories lead us to believe that it's the original owner of the house, still kind of watching over. He still has that emotional attachment to the house he built in the 20s.
Well, that translates a great segue into what you're doing now. And the uniforms that you have on and the hats that you have on. City and Rural Explorers Examining the Paranormal, or CREEPS. What does the paranormal encompass? What counts as paranormal? Talk about the different aspects of what makes something paranormal.
Right. You know, I feel that it's in the emotions on both sides. You know, you have that emotional energy still attached to the area, and any witness who experiences that spiritual activity, they then have that same emotion. You remember Dave and Nina, who called in earlier on the show, they were still emotionally attached to this one experience. So I think that what gives a paranormal experience validity.
And we're on with the CREEPS Ghost Commandos, Alec and Adam Tillery. Kansas City, have you had a paranormal encounter? Call us at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can send in your paranormal activity, as it were, via email at centralstandard@kcur.org or Twitter, where our handle is at KCURCST. Alec, is there a certification for ghost hunters or people who speak to ghosts? Are there any academic criteria or disciplines or certificates that you need to have? Do you need to go back every once in a while to get that certificate up?
Right. Yeah. You know, I wish there actually was. I've researched certain places, and I believe in Europe you could find certifications or credentials that are more valid than what's here in the United States. But
Europe, that doesn't.
Right.
Shock
I know.
Me at all.
Exactly. Exactly. But we really feel here at on the Creeps team that education is important. You know, it really helps our credibility. I mean, Adam's got a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's our artsy guy. I've got a master's degree in project management, and we almost have to take a business-oriented approach because we're a three-man team, so you need to get organization management, which is what you'd find in a business degree. You've got to get asset management, investment management, strategic planning, risk analysis, so education is very important. But there's not one specific degree out there that says, a bachelor's of paranormal studies.
But there should be, you think?
I think so, yes. Yeah. And I'd be more than happy to write the curriculum on it.
Adam, you guys both have day jobs, as it were. You have a degree in fine arts. He's a project manager. What do your superiors or colleagues at your regular day jobs think of your status as ghost commandos?
Well, as far as I know, I think they think it's pretty cool. I have a lot of people coming up all the time asking, so what are you doing this weekend, Adam? I'm like, oh, well, we have a public investigation, or we're going to this location out in Missouri or Kansas or in Iowa. It seems like almost every week at least one coworker asks, what are you doing this weekend?
Does it feel good to top people in weekend activities every weekend?
No,
as in
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, you're going on a trip. Yep. Doing a little ghost commando. Get with that. What types of things do you encounter when you visit some of these haunted places?
I'd say one of the more common experiences are cold chills that people feel whenever they go on like a paranormal investigation. That seems to be one of the most common things, or you'll feel like your shoulder touched or your clothes tugged on. Those are some of the more common experiences that will occur.
Well, let's hear about some of our experiences, common or uncommon, from fellow Kansas Cityans as we look at ghosts today on Central Standard. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888 is the number. We got David in Overland Park. David, welcome to Central Standard.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Give us your ghost story.
Well, this could get a little complicated, man. I grew up in a haunted house, so I've got a whole childhood full of stories.
Again, is this a haunted house where they pass out candy as you leave, or an actual haunted house?
No, this was an actual haunted house.
Okay, tell us one of those stories then, Dave.
Well, we actually had a photograph of it. We were talking to some friends about it one night, and of course everybody was like, nah, bullshit, we don't believe you. But when somebody in the group took a Polaroid picture of the group, and about 20 minutes after it developed, we noticed that there was, it's still developing going on. There was still something that was coming up in the picture. And over the years, it got clearer and clearer. There was definitely a woman in a long white gown standing right behind me when I was talking about her.
And did that freak you out, David?
Well, in the sense that we knew she was there anyway, no. But in the sense that we suddenly had some sort of concrete proof that we could show other people, yeah.
Did it freak you out from the sense that she was in a long white gown and perhaps maybe she wanted to marry you?
No. The original theory was that it was my grandmother. My grandfather talked about how she had died in the house and how, you know, even though he lived alone, he was never really alone and all this kind of stuff. My mom tried to discourage the stories when I was a little kid. But after my grandfather died and we packed up his house and we moved everything to Florida, she just kind of came with her.
Well, thank you very much, David, for your story. We're going to go to Susan, who's also in Overland Park, and then we're going to go back to the Creeps Ghost Commandos and find out what their scariest encounter was and hear all about that. Susan in Overland Park, welcome to Central Standard.
Well, thank you. I just have a question. I moved into my home about 3.5 years ago, and it was okay for the first couple of weeks, but then I started having issues in the basement, and like kind of being pushed down the stairs, and there was an event you had spoken about, like the cold air coming through, and that had happened up above in the living area. So she and I sort of had it out finally. I mean, I stood in the basement and I was like, enough, I can't take what you're doing. And she went away. And so my question is, did she really leave, or is she just kind of hanging out?
That's the question from Susan. Ghost Commandos, did she leave, or is she hanging out?
If anything, her spirit maybe became weaker. By showing your authority, she realized, hey, I don't really have any power over you, so your authority that you're showing me is going to make me back off a little bit. So maybe the spirit didn't leave entirely. She just realizes, okay, this I have nothing, no control over this living woman.
So you're saying, Adam, that if you flex on a ghost, they might realize they don't belong there.
That's very true. I think that does that is a big possibility.
So if you say, I ain't afraid of no ghost, that's what will drive them away, perhaps.
Absolutely.
In some instances.
Sure, and it might filter out the weaker ghosts and bring out some of the bigger ghosts that want to flex back.
Right. Speaking of which, when they flex back, what happens?
Oh, man, use caution. At that point, you have to be on your toes, because either it's going to get absolutely quiet because you flex too hard and the ghosts are gone and you sent your message, or they're going to take that the wrong way. You always hear about provoking the ghost, and there's great debate out there in the paranormal field. Should you do it? Should you not? The consensus seems to be you should not. So we always try to hold our flexes down a little bit. And, just be respectful. We seem to get better results when we are respectful towards what may be on the other side.
Alec and Adam, we're going to talk about one of the creepiest events you've ever been to right now. What was it? Where was it?
Oh, like your guest said earlier, Mary, Missouri State Penitentiary for me.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It was in the gas chamber. We were the first of two teams. Our team, Creeps, Ghost Commandos, and PRI out of Topeka, we were the first teams to get into the Missouri State Penitentiary. And we got to investigate, A Hall, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And we also did the gas chamber. And investigating that gas chamber is what sort of changed me up pretty good and gave me a different perspective on paranormal occurrences.
When you said it changed you up pretty good, what does that mean?
It was in the gas chamber. Oh, and the sound that the gas chamber door makes is a very eerie creak. You were talking about creaky doors earlier. This one tops them all. It was me in the gas chamber. Alec and Gideon and a few other members were outside, and I decided to sit down in the gas chamber chair because I'm like, I'm a tough guy. I can take this, sit down in the gas chamber chair. Shortly after that, I've always wondered about people's experiences, saying that they feel sick or they need to leave a place. And I'm thinking, that's not going to happen to me. I'm too tough for that. And boy, I was in over my head for a little bit there, sat down. And next thing I know, I started feeling sick, and I started feeling an ultimate sense of dread. And I had to get up and get out of there.
Speaking of the sense of dread, we're about to hear that clip from the gas chamber at the Missouri State Penitentiary with our guest, the Creeps, Ghost Commandos. Let's check that out right now.
Why am I sitting in here in the gas chamber chair? What madness drove me here? Right after I ask, what madness drove me here, my camera's audio picked up what sounds like a female whisper. Keep in mind, there are no females present at the gas chamber at this time. Here's the enhanced audio of what was captured. What madness drove me here? What madness drove me here? Could that have been the voice of Bonnie Hetty, who was executed at the same time with her lover, Carl Hall?
Ominous music, whispers in the background. Was that the voice of Bonnie? Could it have been?
It sure sounded like a female whisper to me.
It's a faint whisper there.
Mm-hmm.
How did you pick that up on audio? What type of equipment do you use?
We use video cameras with night vision capabilities. It was standard Sony camera, I think maybe mid-2000s model, something like that. But when we go back, we videotape on either our... you know, on videotapes that we have, and we'll go back and review them, and we'll listen with speakers cranked, and that was one of the voices that we were able to pull out of the camera's audio during that scene.
You just heard a clip from our guest, the Creeps Ghost Commandos. The Creep stands for City and Rural Explorers Examining the Paranormal. We have Alec and Adam Tillery. Excuse me, I mispronounced your name because that whisper scared me.
It's all right.
Very, very much. What do you say, though, to skeptics who hear the term Creeps Ghost Commandos and think, this is preposterous?
Right.
That does happen quite often. And what we'll do is tell them, you can go to our website. You could see the evidence that we captured. You could see how it coincides with other events that are happening at the same time. I mean, we've captured doors opening by themselves. And in the meantime, at the same time, you'll see us in a completely different area of the house or the building that we're at. We've captured voices in empty rooms, and we have that on camera and footage. You can see that nobody's in the room. And if that doesn't work, we'll invite them out with us and come along. We'll show you, and you'll see what it feels like to be in that location by yourself or with us. It's a little different, you know, saying, that's not real when you're sitting at home. But when you're actually there with us or on investigation on your own, that's when it becomes a little bit more real.
Come on a Ghost Commando ride along and see just how real it is.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. Being a Ghost Commando is certainly more of a mindset. You have to have a strong mind. You have to be focused when you go on these types of investigations. The time is really our worst enemy. So you don't want to be timid and back out of a situation unless you feel that your safety is at risk. So, yeah, you have to be a strong mind and focused. And actually, on behalf of Gideon Coyle, my brother Adam, and myself, Jabalani, we'd like to make you an honorary Ghost Commando today. We've actually got a shirt for you here.
Thank you very much. A warm tear streaming down my left eye. I am now Commando. Jeff emails in, says he lives in Boston. There was a graveyard from the Revolutionary War in Harvard Square there in Boston. He said he saw ghosts there routinely dressed in military garb. He also lived in an older small house in Cambridge where there was a ghost lady who sat and rocked in a rocking chair at night. Thank you, Jeff, for that. You are listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Our guests, as you just heard, are Alec and Adam Tillery, founders and proprietors of Creeps Ghost Commandos. How much do you typically charge for your services or your assessment services?
That's just it. We are do not charge anything. If anything, we donate more than what we take in. We love going to a lot of historical locations, not only just to learn about, you know, the ghosts that are there, but we love learning about the history. And more often than not, we'll leave a donation for letting whoever owns the place, letting us investigate there.
Speaking of what you take in, why do you eat Taco Bell and drink Gatorade and carbonated drinks before going to listen to these ghosts?
You will be surprised. If you were to take a survey of all the paranormal investigators across the nation, you will find out that a good percentage of paranormal investigators, for some strange reason, eat Taco Bell.
And we're a little superstitious as well.
Yeah, superstitious. Yeah.
Certainly. Vivian in Leavenworth has seen ghosts in the quarters on the fort grounds. I don't know why I talked in that accent, but Vivian, let's go to Vivian in Leavenworth. Vivian?
Yes.
Hello, Vivian. Welcome to Central Standard.
Well, thank you for letting me call.
Tell us your ghost story.
Well, I have seen Father Thomas Fred, who was the priest that burnt in the rectory in the late 1800s. And he's very friendly. He stands about 5'5". I would say he was a Latin descendant. And he appears in the long black coat of the priest. He does not do any damage. You can hear his sewing machine going upstairs. He moves things around. He's a little frisky sometimes. My girlfriend and I bought a pie safe to put in the kitchen, and he didn't want it in the kitchen. He kept moving it on the back porch, so we gave up and put it on the back porch. We've had photos moved or turned to the wall because he apparently that's not where they wanted it. We've had one day we heard teacups clinking in the living room thinking the kitty cat had gotten in the pantry. We went in, and there was eight ladies dressed in 1900 spring clothing having tea in front of the fireplace. You can smell smoke burning in the house. Now, we are not so too sure if it's from the fire or whether it's one of the fireplaces. You can smell kerosene sometimes and candles burning. We've seen apparitions go up the side of the staircase. And if you go off and leave the house by itself for any length of time, when you come back, everything is kind of moved around. All the pillows were in the middle of the floor one day. Magazines would be moved. And she had a candelabra that we kept on the buffet, and we found that thing all over the house. We don't know whether they were playing a game with us or whether they were just using it for lighting.
That's Vivian in Leavenworth giving us a very detailed story about the ghosts and apparitions she's seen on the Fort Grounds. Very detailed, very specific, very prolific appearances of these ghosts and apparitions. Do you find out, Adam, whether there's an underlying agenda with ghosts or paranormal entities? Are they there to scare people, teach people something, warn people? What's the most common denominator?
I would have to say that they're still emotionally attached to either the location that they lived in, or that they were shocked out of their body, maybe by a traumatic experience. Maybe they died traumatically. Those are the two most common ones. They're either emotionally attached or they died unexpectedly, and they don't know that they're dead.
We have a note in from a former UMKC student, says, how can you talk about hauntings at UMKC or in the UM system without mentioning Epperson House, a room that has always been locked, was finally open. A few of us crept in one day before class. The lightless short hallway cut a right angle back to some pipes, but off to the side in a little pitch black alcove was an empty, dusty wooden chair. It looked like something a person would be strapped into, and it looked like it hadn't been moved or touched or seen in decades. It was a very creepy experience, and those of us who saw it decided that getting clean out of there would be the best idea. Looks like this is the beginning of a horror novel or something like that.
Sure,
very,
sounds like
very
it.
Vivid about the Epperson House. Thank you for that comment from a former UMKC student here on the Ghost and Apparition Show of Central Standard. How do people you serve or people for whom you do investigations feel about having their places of employment or a resident designated as a haunted site?
You know, for the most part, in this day and age, they actually embrace it. We've been to places around the Kansas City area that actually use their spiritual activity to promote, especially around this time of the year. You know, some of the notables around Kansas City that I'd definitely check out if I were you, if you were into this stuff, is the Belvoir Winery out in Liberty, the John Warnow House, Alexander Major's house. Mm-hmm. We're actually going to go this weekend to the Rice Tremonti home over in Raytown area. We're just going for their soup. They're having a soup fundraiser. Yep, no ghost over there. But, yeah, we certainly want to use them to promote it.
Two quick questions for you as the ghost beep just went off.
Mm-hmm.
You're not Ghostbusters.
Correct.
We got to get that straight. You're not going to go in there with ectoplasm and pull ghosts into an electronic contraption that will later be stored.
Correct.
What's the difference between Ghost Commandos and Ghostbusters?
We are on a mission to prove the claims that the host of the site claimed to us. We want to capture the evidence on audio and video and just through our own experiences just to prove that, you know, they are correct. They're not crazy.
And quickly, what's next for Creeps Ghost Commandos?
Oh, man. More videos. Haunting at Farrar in Iowa. We've got our video series coming out on YouTube and on Facebook, so check it out.
And we'll have some of those videos on our own website at kcur.org. Our guests are Alec and Adam Tillery, founders and proprietors of Creeps Ghost Commandos, and we thank you for showing up.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
And tune in tomorrow as we take a look at Halloween recipes. Our show is produced by Danny Alexander. Up to Date is next, live from the Plaza branch of the KC Public Library with political consultants backing their respective candidates for the upcoming elections. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.